Well, on behalf of my wife and I, it's a privilege to be here with you. We come from Northside Baptist Church. We have some, like here, you have two pastors, a senior pastor and an assistant pastor, and they both have the name Weston. So Pastor Simeon is the main leader of the church, and then Pastor Dan as well. So privileged, and my wife and I have been there for 4 years. We were at another Baptist church before that, before the Lord moved us out and clearly led us. So I was moving into a creation ministry, actually, and the Lord had other plans. So my background is that I went to the University of Adelaide and studied science. I graduated in geology and chemistry, and then I specialised in chemistry. And it was when I was doing a doctorate in chemistry that I came to know the Lord in my early 20s. And the Lord opened my eyes, and thankfully I was put in a solid church with a lot of good teaching. But one bit that was missing was the deeper appreciation of separation, true biblical separation from ecclesiastical error. And as I was moving out of the church and the Lord was leading us on and came to Northside, it was good as I did membership studies that really clarified. And so anything that I'm doing is just an extension, not of a parachurch ministry, but of the church at Northside. Amen. So it's purely under the ministry of Northside. And so I don't have a separate ministry. It's just part of the church ministry. So the Lord's led us out this year to go to other like-minded churches. So been to three churches, one in South Australia, two in Melbourne, before coming away for almost, by the time we get home, it'll be 3 weeks here in New South Wales at three different churches, and then back in August for maybe a couple more. So just to support the ministry that goes on in the local church. So that's where we come into it. So my topic is a specific one. It was, were dinosaurs on Noah's Ark? So, and one of the biggest challenges from dinosaurs to the faith of Christians come from the populist media and scientific portrayal of dinosaurs having lived millions of years ago, died out long before humans ever lived, and evolved into modern day birds. So we were at the Australian Fossil and Mineral Museum at Bathurst here, and you get this type of picture of how they indoctrinate young children. So right at a very early age, dinosaurs. Here's a model of Velociraptor. You can see it's a little bit different to the one in the picture. The one in the picture has feathers on it. It's a lie. It's a straight out lie. There are no feathers on Velociraptor. This little fellow featured in Jurassic Park. And because he only grows to about this tall, to make him more ferocious, they based him on another dinosaur, actually, so it's not true in any case. But this little fellow has no feathers. But that's Velociraptor. And he only was about 50 centimetres tall. So I better not touch his arm because he'll make noise and and all sorts of things. So, and so you get something like this in there. Did you know dinosaurs are not extinct? No. More than 10,000 species of dinosaurs are still alive today. They are birds. It's a lie. And we don't have time to deal with that specifically. But it's clear from the Bible that in opposition to this propaganda, the Bible teaches that the earth is only about 6,000 years old, not millions or billions of years old. So dinosaurs certainly weren't around millions of years ago. And dinosaurs were actually created on the same day that humans were created. Day six of creation, so we've coexisted. And birds were actually created one day before that. So dinosaurs didn't turn into birds. They were actually formed one day beforehand on day five of creation. So that's a brief dealing with that. But back to the question, were dinosaurs on Noah's Ark? Well, the Bible teaches that God destroyed the earth about 1,700 years ago. Sorry, 1,700 years after the creation. And dinosaurs and humans were created and they were destroyed via that worldwide flood during that time. So all the people and the land animals, including the dinosaurs that were then alive, were destroyed in that flood. And the only exceptions were Noah, because he found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and his family, and two of every kind of land creature were saved through the ark that God commanded Noah to build. And so God was going to re-establish the earth and repopulate with these animals. And so they were on the ark. And the writer to the Hebrews acknowledged the reality and the importance of Noah and the ark. Hebrews 11, verse 7 says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." And of course, we know that it's really a picture of true salvation. It's not just a physical salvation, but it's a picture of salvation, that there is only one way, and it's through God's provision of a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we look at this topic of were dinosaurs on the ark, you're going to look at four things. So why are dinosaurs interesting? Just to introduce them. And then what are dinosaurs, to make sure we know what we're talking about. What evidence shows dinosaurs were on Noah's Ark? And then how did dinosaurs actually fit on Noah's Ark? So, dinosaurs are a favourite animal, especially with children, but some adults as well. Why? You ask them why, and the first answer you probably get is they were big, big and strong. And that's right. They're also mysterious and so varied. And they can be big. A Tyrannosaurus rex is the size of a fully grown African elephant, at least. And the largest T-Rex is estimated to be about 12.8 metres long with a mass of 8.8 tonnes. And initially gave a variant of this talk to some primary school children, and so I could say it was about 300 of you. And there weren't 300 there. So it's pretty big. But the largest dinosaurs are sauropods. They walk on four legs, huge legs. And possibly the biggest is Titanosaurus, with the largest called Argentinosaurus, obviously from the Argentine. And although no complete skeletons have been found, estimates of the dinosaur's length range from 37 to 40 metres. It's hard when you don't have all the bones to actually work it out. Sometimes they put them in the wrong place, and so it gets a bit longer or a bit shorter. But this is the estimate. And thought to weigh something like 90 or 100 tonnes, and that's about the mass of 1,000 adult men. So pretty big. So by these measures, Argentinosaurus was the largest land animal ever known. And if you look at it in picture, if you look over to the side, there's a little board over there, and the darkened bits are the actual bones they have. So they have nothing in the head, nothing in the tail of this particular one, but they have some other species and they sort of put it together. So dinosaurs are always a bit of a guess because they're not always all there, or mostly not there. You can see a person's height, something like about that height, full-grown adult male. So these things are quite huge. This one looks pretty smiley, so not all of them are fierce. They're also mysterious. They're mysterious because they lived thousands of years ago and it seems like none are alive today. It's believed they're extinct. Commonly, scientists would say, oh, they died out 66 million years ago. A few people are still hoping to find live dinosaurs, maybe in the jungles, maybe Papua New Guinea, maybe in the Amazon or something like that. But there's little actual evidence that dinosaurs are alive today, but there are plenty of theories as to why they died out. We get fed this asteroid theory of why they died out, but there's actually about 100 scientific theories of why the dinosaurs died out. The asteroid is one that the media's hyped up. What sound did they make? Along with the children saying, oh, they're big and strong. They often say they roar, but we don't really know. But one of my two-year-old grandson, when he sees a dinosaur, he goes, roar. So we won't disappoint them, but we don't know. But it all makes them quite mysterious. The other thing is they're very varied. They come in amazing variety of shapes, types and sizes. Some walk on two legs, some on four legs, some were vegetarian, some were carnivorous, some were very big, some were actually quite small. And we find that there's over 1,500 species of dinosaurs known at this stage. Originally, they were divided into two groups by a creationist, actually. Lizard-hipped or bird-hipped. It was a particular structure of the three bones in the pelvis region. And funnily enough, the evolutionists believe the lizard-hipped ones turn into birds, which doesn't make sense to me in any case, but the lizard-hipped ones. Why wouldn't you pick on the bird-hipped ones for a start? But they don't. When we come to major categories of the dinosaurs, the general division is into five groups. So the first ones are sauropods, just means beast or lizard feet. So we get like this. They've got these amazing structure. Take off the head and the tail and you've got the four legs underneath and you can put an amazing amount of weight on them. That's why the sauropods could grow to such height. So this one's Brachiosaurus, obviously walks on four legs. The heaviest and longest are these types of sauropods. Apatosaurus is another one. So they're the big ones. And then you get the theropods, and that just means beast foot, and the famous one of that is good old T-Rex, Tyrannosaurus Rex. Plenty of others, sorry. Allosaurus is another one. Then you get another category, the armoured dinosaurs. You get Ankylosaurus, got that sort of knob on the end of the tail, sort of swishes around, lots of armour. This thing did not eat meat, was a vegetarian, so it had to protect itself pretty well. You also had good old Stegosaurus. We're not sure whether the plates were in two rows or one row, because they weren't part of the main body structure. They just stuck on the skin. So, but Stegosaurus was quite a favoured one. So you've got the armoured type of dinosaurs. Then you've got these funny ones, edgehead dinosaurs, Triceratops. So they had some sort of frill or a ridge on the back of the skull, these type of ones. So Triceratops was a pretty favoured one. Pachycephalosaurus is another one. I've got him here. He's a bit of a funny one. I only could find a little one with this one. He's got this incredible cap on his head. In pictures, they show them butting their heads like rams. but there's no proof of that, but a really, really thick skull on top. So why? Don't know. God just made such a wide variety of these dinosaurs. And then there's the last ones, Ornithopoda, just means bird feet. You would have thought that the evolutionists would have thought that the birds would have come out of these, but they don't. And the evolutionists say, don't know why they gave them the name bird feet, because they're not bird feet. So, Parasaurolophus is a really good one. Iguanodon was one of the first one. This one's got this funny tube from its nostrils upwards. They think it's a honking dinosaur. Scientists have actually, with the bone structure and all that, worked out that this one actually could make a noise. Not a roar, more of a honk, a really big honk. So why did God make them like this in such a variety? I don't know. That's part of the mystery, isn't it? But they're quite interesting type of dinosaurs. And then you get dinosaurs that tend to be unique to a particular locality. So looking in Australia, sadly, where I come from, no dinosaurs in South Australia, or not found yet. We got big diprotodons, big, almost like a super giant wombat, but no dinosaurs. So you go to Queensland, you find quite a few dinosaurs. Savannosaurus, unique. There's only one ever found in the whole world. And if you look at this picture, it shows you the bones. Again, don't even know what its head looks like because I haven't found it yet. But only one in the world, and it's up there in Queensland. Then you get this one from Wintonotitan, another one of these huge sauropods. Two of them. One must have faced that way, and one no, that's just two of them. Two of them found in Winton, up in Queensland. I want to go to Winton, do some digging around, see if I can find a dinosaur. Hey? But only two of those specimens. So this is what happens with dinosaurs throughout the world. You find some that are local, and you couldn't have any more local to Australia than this one, Qantasaurus. It's named after an airline company, truly, and it doesn't even fly. So it's a little tiny one found in Victoria, a few little bones and its footprint, and that's it. It's a Qantasaurus. Unique. Only one has ever been found in the whole world. Then you get this type of thing. You get non-unique dinosaurs. So Grallator. Grallator's a little tiny fellow. He's found all over the world. Not in Antarctica. The problem with Antarctica is it's got a huge amount of ice on it and it's hard to find. But there are dinosaurs that have been found in Antarctica, but not Grallator. So every other continent, find Grallator, this little one. So it shows what actually evolutionists and creationists believe, that in the beginning, all the land masses were joined together. And so these dinosaurs could roam. Obviously, some didn't like to roam. They liked to stay in one spot. And others just bred like rabbits or whatever, and they moved all over the world, like this little fella. But this is my favourite dinosaur, Nigellosaurus. There he is. Look at the mouth on it. Reminds me when I came to the Lord. I woke up in the morning after having received the Lord and I felt like I had a smile twice as wide as my face. Well, that's Nigellosaurus. It's actually not Nigellosaurus, it's Nigerosaurus, but it was pretty close. So this one was found in Niger, the Niger River in Africa, and when my wife and I went to the Australian Museum in Sydney, there he was, right there, a bit of a cast of it. So he's a big sauropod found in Africa, but it's nice to be named after a dinosaur or have one named after you. Not quite, but close. All right. Now, what are dinosaurs? So originally dinosaurs were called dragons until Richard Owens in 1841 came up with the term dinosauria, which means fearfully great reptile, and it was published a year later, so 1842. It had hit the print in the scientific literature we had a class of reptiles called dinosaurs. So he saw them as reptiles that walked erect, having a posture similar to that of elephants and rhinoceroses with their legs under their body. So again, if you take one that walks on four legs, take off the head, take off the tail, you can see the four big supports of a typical thing like a rhinoceros or an elephant, that sort of body, where the legs under the body was the important thing. So it was quite remarkable that he could come up with this and actually guessed it right, that they were a unique class of animal. He only had three different types of dinosaurs to work with, and he worked out that they weren't common reptiles that we have today. He had Megalosaurus, Iguanodon and Hylosaurus, which is a hadrosaur. So in the early 1800s, they had a few of these dinosaurs. When they first started to find these huge fossils of the larger dinosaurs, they had no idea what they were. They thought they might be giant humans or elephants or something. But now, dinosaurs are a type of reptile. They lived on land, so therefore they were created on day six. So Genesis 1, verses 24 and 25 states, "And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good." And of course, man was created after that on the same day, and it was day six. So dinosaurs are not like modern lizards or crocodiles. So if I was to ask Joseph here to do a push-up for us, he'd put his arms out to the side, and we see like a modern lizard or a crocodile, the front legs, and in their case, the back legs are splayed out to the side. So if you put a lot of weight on that type of structure, the body would be dragging on the ground pretty quickly. Whereas under your body, there's a lot more strength there. Mm. And it can bear a lot more. So they're not like a modern lizard, a tendency to drag their belly and their tail, and shows up in their fossils as well. And they're not swimming reptiles or flying reptiles. So they were created on day five. So Genesis 1, verses 20 to 23 says, "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day." So, dinosaurs are not swimming reptiles. So, when you go back into the fossil record, the ones that are not alive today, you find mosasaurs, ichthyosaurs and plesiosaurs. Here's a mosasaur, part of a jaw with some of the teeth. So they had some pretty decent teeth, some of these reptiles in the sea. So that's from Morocco. Quite a smiley mosasaur. Definitely a ferocious creature. Quite large teeth. The ichthyosaurs sort of had this hole through their vertebrae. This is a vertebrae from an ichthyosaur found up in Queensland, and that was part of their structure. They were quite a large beast, but they were swimming reptiles. They were not dinosaurs by definition. Quite interesting, but not a dinosaur. Now, they're also not flying reptiles. So flying reptiles are pterosaurs. The word means winged lizards, and they were quite amazing things. Some of them were quite small, very fine bones. Not sure they had such a big belly, but any case. They had skin across their wing structure like a bat, but even the evolutionists don't believe they're related to a bat. The bat just appeared out of nowhere and exists today as a bat. And these things appeared out of nowhere and then died out. So unless you have one in your backyard, we believe they've gone. Some were quite small, little tiny things. Some were bigger than huge. So the one there is Hetsagopteryx. That's a 5-metre giraffe. Imagine one of those flying through the sky, a 5-metre giraffe flying through the sky. But it only had a 5-metre wingspan, which is pretty big. But Quetzalcoatlus, which is this one down here, that had a wingspan of up to 40 feet, which is about 10 metres, say. So if my span from fingertip to fingertip is 2 metres there, imagine 5 of those, and that's flying through the sky. They are huge, quite amazing creatures, but because they're flying reptiles, created day 5, they are not dinosaurs. Can you see what happened in the original definition? Because people were influenced by the Bible, the man clearly defined a difference between things that flew, day 5, creation, and things that were land animals, day 6. And that's built into the definition. Now, what are dinosaurs? There's 6 main features. Sometimes people talk about 7. We won't go into the details, but there are some special features. And this is the sort of thing that they were looking at. Just one thing. Up in the head of a dinosaur's always got these holes in it. I didn't bring along the dinosaur head, did I? Sorry about that. But in any case, it makes it much lighter. So if you've got a very heavy head on a very long neck, you've got some structural problems. So the dinosaur's head's always much lighter. So you imagine on the end of a 20-foot neck, it's a sensible design feature, I think. So there are various ones. I'll make this PowerPoint available through Pastor Jeremy to anyone who wants it, so you can look at some of those things if you really want. One thing I can say, though, is kangaroos are not dinosaurs. No matter what they look like. Kangaroos are mammals. They're not reptiles. And they produce live young and have a strange way of doing it too. They don't lay eggs. And as far as we know, all dinosaurs laid eggs. So they're very different creatures. Even though that one looks a bit like it. All right, now, question for the audience. Is this a dinosaur? So it's not very big, is it? If it's a dinosaur, some dinosaurs were incredibly small. So it was sold to me as a dinosaur, but I'm not sure. So is it a dinosaur? Does it look like a reptile for a start? Yes, it does. It's got an unusually long head and a long tail. So not quite often you get a long tail and a short neck, or a long neck and a short tail, but to have both brings it into a class. It's come out of China. This is a true fossil. Does it have wings? It doesn't look like a flying reptile, so it passes that test. Does it look like it swims? Possibly. And that's actually where I don't know. The legs on this thing, it's hard to work out on the ends whether it could have been encased in a flipper or whether it was like true claws. So I've asked the Australian Museum in Sydney to give me some more information on that. So a couple of weeks' time, I might have an answer on that. The other thing is, structurally, does it have its legs under its body? It's hard to be definitive. They're out to the side, but it could be that it's just poor thing's been squashed. So we'll let the experts with a bit more knowledge of dinosaurs work that one out. But it's an interesting fossil. And if it is a dinosaur, then dinosaurs can be quite small, not just big. Now, what evidence shows dinosaurs were on Noah's Ark? Well, firstly, did dinosaurs live before Noah's flood? Well, the evidence that dinosaurs lived before Noah's flood come from two main sources. The Bible says they were created, they are land animals, they were created on day six. The other one is paleontology, which is a study of fossils. And we've got thousands of dinosaur fossils all around the world. The United States seem to have tens of thousands themselves, and right up into Canada. But they're all around the world. And dinosaurs living just before the flood were killed by the flood. And some of those fossilised. You have to have very special conditions to produce fossils. So things die, they don't produce fossils normally. They have to be rapidly entombed and deeply buried very, very rapidly. So the only dinosaurs that would have survived the flood would have been with Noah on the ark. So we believe they were in existence before the flood. Now, did dinosaurs then live after the flood is the key. Just a bit more evidence. Not only do you find bones, teeth, even skin, preserved skin. From the preserved skin, we know clearly they did not have feathers. Any attempt of saying things had feathers, little muscle sinews, that's all they've found. But we've got plenty of good skin, or impressions of skin, and they clearly have no feathers. The other thing, we find lots of footprints around the world in various places. You find a few in Dinosaur Cove, you find some up in Queensland, you find some over in Western Australia, lots of these things. One place in South America, I think it's Bolivia, they have a wall of these footprints in their thousands, just on the one chunk of rock. So plenty of evidence of dinosaurs. So, did they live after the flood? So the evidence then for surviving dinosaurs coming through the flood comes from three sources. Archaeology, which is a study of human history from material remains. The Bible, and legends, myths and eyewitness accounts, human records. So we've got three sources. So let's have a look at archaeology. So evidence that surviving dinosaurs lived after Noah's flood comes from archaeology, which is said is the study of human history from looking at what remains. And we see dinosaurs depicted on pottery, like up here, just one example. We see stone engravings of dinosaurs, Ica stones. Quite interesting. Here's a copy of one, a copy of an original. And this one's quite interesting. This one up here doesn't have it, but this one has little round circles on the skin. And when people saw that, they said, oh, that's a fake. No dinosaur has circles on its skin, these little central nodes or whatever it is. And then they found them on skin. And these are hundreds of years old. These are before John Owens ever named dragons as dinosaurs. So before people started to really know what dinosaurs were, they've been depicted on the pottery. They've been depicted on the Ica stones. The problem with the Ica stones is that there's some fakes out there, and it's hard to tell the fakes from the real, and it's messed it up. But these were, I think they started to collect them from the 1400s. So they've been around a long time. You can also get temple carvings in Cambodia, hundreds of years old. That's a stegosaurus. There's our stegosaurus with his plates on the back. You can see the plates up here. It's clearly, when people look at it, they say it's a stegosaurus. The reason why scientists won't say it's a stegosaurus is because it's at least 800 years old. And the only way that people can depict these is by actually seeing them. So they're eyewitnesses and they've depicted them. The last one here from American Indians, hundreds of years old, they've got all these drawings. That's a sauropod, clearly. If you go to Chinese culture, a lot of dragons dating back thousands of years. Here's just a few of them. This little fellow over here is Sorolophus. It's a drawing from the Shang Dynasty, which dates over a 600-year period from 1766 to 1122 BC. Long time ago. And then this one here is a carving in jade, and that's about 2000 BC, and it corresponds to a ceratosaurus. So this website, if you're interested, genesispark.com, is devoted to showing that humans and dinosaurs coexisted. It's got hundreds of bits of evidence. It's very good. So if you're interested, you could follow it up through there. So these are not just random things. These are in Chinese museums. There's lots of them, lots of evidence that humans and people must have coexisted. You go to the Bible, you go to Job chapter 40, verses 15 to 24. Verses 15 to 19 read, "Behold, now Behemoth, which I made with thee, he eateth grass as an ox." It's interesting because the grass is an angiosperm. It's a flowering plant. The evolutionists didn't believe that flowering plants had evolved by the time of the dinosaurs. They came much later. God said, Behemoth, he was eating grass like an ox, like Nigelosaurus, or Nigerosaurus. He was a grass eater. And they've found grass in the stomach contents of, fossilised stomach contents of dinosaurs. So they know grass existed when dinosaurs existed, even though the evolutionists said, it can't be in the time frame. It couldn't have evolved by then, but it has, of course. So we get eateth grass as an ox. Lo, now his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. He moveth his tail like a cedar. These things had very big, thick tails. And in fact, it's believed they walked with them erect, horizontal. They have very strong sinews to tie them to their legs. So when one leg moved, it moved the tail that way. When the other one moved, it flipped it back the other way. It's all part of a balancing mechanism for the dinosaur. Certainly, elephants and hippopotamuses have little tiny tails. They don't move like a cedar tree. But you'll find some modern Bible translations, and they've taken out Behemoth and put in an elephant or a hippopotamus. It's all scientific interpretation. His bones are as strong as pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. He is the chief of the ways of God. So we're looking at a sauropod, a huge, giant sauropod, as something that is so striking, the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him, etc. Goes on. The other one that is interesting is you go on to chapter 41 and you read about Leviathan. Now, I've dropped that down to show of things. 33 verses about Leviathan, just a few verses selection out of there. Canst thou now draw out Leviathan with an hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? Canst thou put an hook into his nose, or bore through his jaw with a thorn? Canst thou fill his skin with barbed irons, or his head with fish spears? Obviously, this is a swimming reptile. Right? Lay thine hand upon him, remember the battle, do no more. Don't repeat that again. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me? If this thing is so ferocious, God is saying, well, who can stand before me? This is just, and he's speaking to Job here. Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible. Round about his scales are his pride, shut up together as with a close seal. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together that they cannot be sundered. So all these scales are so close, tightly packed, it's watertight. Upon earth there is not his like who is made without fear. So it could be an ichthyosaur or a mosasaur or something like that. But another possibility is that it's a spinosaur, Spinosaurus, actually a dinosaur. Spinosaurus is a very water-competent swimmer, even though it lived on land. And its teeth are quite ferocious. That's a tooth of a spinosaur. And you imagine many of those piercing its prey. So it liked to fish, I think. So there is a possibility that it's a spinosaur like this thing here. They're actually more ferocious than a T-Rex, largely ran on their back legs. But because they were so much more agile than a T-Rex and had basically jaws like a T-Rex, it was pretty ferocious. We don't know. It's either a swimming reptile or it could be a dinosaur like a Spinosaurus. The other form of evidence we have is that dinosaurs lived after Noah's flood is according to human accounts. So there's plenty of evidence to believe that dinosaurs were real and lived after the floods from legends, myths, eyewitness accounts. So you get things like dragons, as we've talked about in Chinese culture. We've got records of dragon slayings, St. George and the dragon, but there are many accounts of that. We've got an encounter recorded by Alexander the Great. His soldiers encountered a dinosaur or a dragon in India and it frightened them. And also you have modern sightings of dinosaurs, and actually by credible people, like pastors and things. There's an account on by Creation Ministries International of an encounter with probably a sauropod in Papua New Guinea by a pastor there, and that was only in the last 15 years or so. So plenty of evidence that dinosaurs lived before the flood, after the flood. Therefore, they had to be, according to the Bible, on Noah's Ark. Now, how did the dinosaurs then actually fit on Noah's Ark? Well, the first thing we can say is the Ark was big. Go to Genesis 6, verses 13 to 15, and we read, "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits." So a cubit was from the bottom of the elbow to the top of the hand. Obviously, my cubit and your cubit could be different. So they had a standardized cubit, which is believed to be about 18 inches or 45 centimetres. So if that was the cubit that was used to make Noah's Ark, then it It's about 137 metres by 23 by 13.7, large enough to contain 350 semi-truck trailers, as the Americans would call them. If it used the Royal Cubit, which was a little bit longer, 20.4 inches or 52 centimetres, then it would have been 155 metres by 26 by 15.5 and large enough to contain about 450 semi-trailer trucks. The Hebrew Royal Cubit was the one that Answers in Genesis used to build the Ark in Kentucky, Ark Encounter. They built that Ark over a six-year period, planning through to building, only using hand tools, skilled craftsmen, and it is huge. And had three levels, and you can see all the people down there below and some cars and some structures, etc. So you can get an idea that this was a huge ocean-going boat. And just watch out for children's books that have these little dinky-dye things with a couple of things hanging out the top. No, it's a huge boat. So the boat was big. Second thing we can say is the dinosaur numbers were limited. So two of each kind of dinosaur would have been on the ark, remembering there were more than 1,500 species of dinosaurs. That would make a huge lot of dinosaurs that had to go on there. But creationists have determined that there were only about 50 to 85 various estimates of kinds of dinosaurs. And so if you double that, Noah would only have to house and feed 100 to 170 dinosaurs on the ark. Just a bit more on that. Need to be clear on a biblical kind that it's not the same as a species. And working with a professor at the Adelaide University, it's clear he would say that a species has got nothing to do with what it should be, which is a relationship with other animals, but it's to do with how people think. It's of their own imagination. So it doesn't correlate, a biblical kind does not correlate with any particular level in a modern taxonomic or naming system for animals or plants or anything like that. And that's important because the modern classification system, as I said, has over 1,500. By now it's more than 1,600 dinosaurs. So back in just 3 years ago, 2021, there were 1,545 scientifically described dinosaur species, and they believe about 50 new ones each year get described. So how could all those fit on Noah's Ark with all the other kinds of animals? Well, according to Institute of Creation Research, creation biologists are actively working out the limits of variation within a kind to better understand where it falls within our modern taxonomic or naming system. There are five accepted suborders, and we've looked at those. Then they're broken into 13 infraorders and 60 families. And a family may approximate a biblical kind. So way up the tree in the naming system, you get a family, and that's the closest you can in the modern system. Not quite right, but so we've got a big boat, we've got a limited number of dinosaurs, and the third thing we can say about these dinosaurs is that they were small. So God chose the dinosaurs to go on the ark. Noah didn't have to go and round them up. They just came under God's command. And he could have easily selected the smaller sized dinosaurs, not the fully grown ones. And remember, dinosaurs hatch from eggs. And the biggest eggs were only the size of a football. So here's some cast of, not a real one, but a cast of a real one, of these theropod eggs, six of them there. They're cracked. You try and make a fossil out of a cracked egg. You can't do it. They don't survive. Or you put an egg in the ground and it'll explode or something like that. But the eggs tend to be a lot more leathery than a chicken's egg, for example. And here, amazingly, you've got cracked eggs preserved for thousands of years. So that's the size of a dinosaur egg, quite typical. The top two pictures up here come from the museum in Bathurst. Some pictures there with mock-up ones with the little dinosaurs hatching out, but these eggs are about the size of a little bull. The biggest dinosaur eggs are about this size. So these are Tabarosaurus eggs from Mongolia, a cast again. Otherwise, they'd be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars and quite fragile. So this is a pair, and the biggest dinosaur eggs are only about a football size. So, oops, scratch there. So all the dinosaurs at one stage were quite small. And so anywhere from very, very tiny up to huge, you could select your dinosaurs and make them fit on the ark, especially if you knew how big the ark was in the first place and you designed it. So were dinosaurs on Noah's Ark? Yes. Biblically? Yes. And scientifically? Most and more important than dinosaurs, though, if we go back to what the writer to the Hebrews said there in Hebrews 11:7, we see the reality of it and the importance of Noah and his household on the ark, not just the dinosaurs. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Got to remember, the flood is a judgment on the sin of mankind. And only in the grace of God was Noah and his three sons and all their wives saved. And it's a picture that there's only one way of salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And in Noah's day, the only way of salvation was through the ark. And today, the only way of salvation is through the ark of Christ. There is only one way. All religions don't lead to heaven. They lead to hell. But there's only one way, and it's through the Son, Jesus Christ. Because only the Son, the perfect Son of God, could deal with sin. That's the problem. And John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it's the same. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, but only his family responded. And only they went into the ark. And only today, it's only those who are in Christ that will be saved. And God has made a way. The ark and the dinosaurs are just examples of it all pointing to the fact that there is but one way of salvation, and it's through Jesus Christ. So were dinosaurs on the ark? Yes. Was there an ark? Yes. Was there a salvation of Noah and his family? Yes. Are we the recipients of that grace today, but only eternally by receiving Jesus Christ and acknowledging him as our Lord and Saviour? So the important question is he your Lord? Is he your Saviour? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your wonderful creation. We thank you for all the wonderful variety of dinosaurs that you made. Thank you that you've given us some evidence that they did exist before and after the flood. But we thank you that it points to a deeper picture of the salvation that you offer to all mankind, because you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. But only those who receive that truth and by faith accept salvation by repenting and turning to Jesus Christ as the only way and the only life, the only truth. Can a man be saved? Can a woman be saved? So we thank you for that and pray that you'd make that real to each one of us here. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.